So, I've looked at the clock, and I think it's time for some questions and answers. I know you're going to say, hey, you haven't even read the first line in the text. What's the story? I came here to hear this text, and you haven't even gotten to the first line yet. Well, practice patience. No, we'll get to that tomorrow. And actually, I think it's nice because you just got the booklet today, and so you'll be able to read chapter one. And if you read it, then you'll have a little bit of familiarity with it. And so then as I start going through it and explaining it tomorrow, you'll have a little bit of a better understanding. So right now, I'd like to open it up to some questions and comments. You can ask whatever you like or whatever. And you can either stand up and ask your question, or I think there's some pieces of paper. You can also write your questions down and pass them to some of the ushers. And I really encourage you to ask your questions, you know, now. Lots of people think, oh, I can't ask a question now. I'll go up and ask it afterwards. So then I give a whole Dharma talk. Then after the talk, there's 100 people in a line wanting to ask a question. And, you know, you can't ask every person, answer every person's question specifically. And also, because most of the people have very similar questions. So if you ask your question, very often you're helping somebody else because it's somebody else's question as well. While you're writing your questions down, I just want to take this time and pause here and pay my respects to Venerable Phat Quan. She was the nun from Taipeiyin who opened the Taipei Buddhist Center here. She passed away a number of years ago, but I lived at her temple when I first came to Singapore. And she is, you know, a remarkable practitioner and offered so much service to sentient beings. And we have this building here due to her vision and due to the kindness of all the people who supported her and made offerings so that the Taipei Buddhist Center could be built. So I just want to pay my respects to Venerable Phat Quan and also pay my respects to the people at Pure Land Marketing and who organize these teachings and the people who are currently running the Taipei Buddhist Center, because it's due to all of their kindness in organizing the teachings and making them happen that we're able to meet here together. Now I better get back to work. Okay, so somebody's saying, we like the idea of lighting up the Abbey with light offerings. Thank you for making providing us this opportunity. Could you explain the benefits of offering light? Okay, so offering light is a practice that's been done in all the Buddhist traditions. I think it must have been from the time of the Buddha himself. So why do we offer light? In particular, we offer light because light is beautiful, and light symbolizes wisdom. You know, it's like lighting up your mind. So when you make light offerings, you're also creating the cause to generate wisdom. And we make offerings to the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas in order to create positive potential, or sometimes it's translated as merit, but I don't think merit is a very good translation. It's more that we're trying to create positive potential, positive energy that nourishes our mind. So whenever we make any kind of offering to the Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha, then we create this kind of positive potential. And when we offer light in particular, we're helping to create the cause to generate wisdom, and in particular, Manjushri's wisdom, because Manjushri is the Buddha of wisdom. Okay, so this person is saying, we love your teaching very much. Oh, praise. Ooh, appreciation. More. No. You can see the disadvantages of being attached to things. So they're saying, we're curious about Buddhism in the West, and what are the problems or difficulties that you face when propagating Dharma in the West compared to the East? So it's very interesting, you know, teaching Buddhism in different countries, because every country has a different mentality and different things that they think about. So in Singapore, many people have grown up with Buddhism. You've learned about it as children. You've at least seen some of the things. So there's some receptivity from the time that you're a child. In the West, people don't grow up with that, by and large. And so they have to really start from the very, very beginning. And they often have to overcome a lot of wrong conceptions in the process. Because, for example, here in Singapore, you may have heard about rebirth from the time you were a child. Now, maybe you're not so clear that you really understand it, but, you know, you've heard about it. Well, in the West, people, by and large, haven't heard about it. So when you teach them, you really have to start over from the beginning and explain all of it. And they really have to think very deeply about those things. Of course, here too in Singapore, you need to explain about what rebirth is and how it operates so that people understand it properly. There's all sorts of other differences. For example, in Singapore, I noticed it, you know, just when I came a couple of days ago, the first morning when I was out taking a walk, then some people would greet me. They would, you know, greet me like this. Well, in the West, people don't know that I'm a nun. I mean, now they're starting to. Now people are knowing the robes. But in the beginning, you know, people don't know what the robes are. They don't know who you are. And actually, it's quite cute. Here, you know, when you see somebody with a shaved head, you know, who's dressed like this, you know that they're ordained. Well, when I was in the airport waiting for the flight to come to Singapore, I was sitting and waiting, and one woman came up to me. You know, she saw me, and then she turned and came back to me, and she was smiling, and she sat down beside me, and she said, "Oh, dear, are you going through chemo right now?" And I said, "No." And she said, "Oh, because I just wanted to tell you, if you were, you know, that your hair will come back and you do feel better, and I just wanted to give you some support." And I said, "Oh, it's very kind of you to think of me, but, you know, I'm okay right now." So. Yeah. So this kind of thing happens in the West. Okay. There's some more questions over here. Ooh. Lots of questions. Let's see. Okay, so this person's saying, "Do you believe that there is a bigger force called Creator, which actually governs our experience as human beings?" No. Okay? And I'll come back and explain that in a minute. This person is saying, meaning that if we're creators and we create karma, that is our destiny, and that we have very little control and very little choice. Okay, so they're saying, what do we have control over in our life? Okay, the reason that I don't believe that there's a greater force that governs our life is because it doesn't make any sense. Okay, if there were a creator that created us, then you have to ask, who created the creator? Okay? If you say, well, nobody created the creator, then the creator must be permanent. If the creator is permanent, it can't change, which means it can't create. You getting what I'm saying? There's a lot of logical fallacies if you posit some kind of initial creator in the universe. Yeah? Because what created the creator? And if something else created it, then it's not the creator. And if something else didn't create the creator, then it's permanent, so it can't create. Okay. Then you also get into questions like, if there is an external creator, why didn't they do a better job? You know, and I'm serious. I mean, I remember as a little kid, because I was taught, you know, oh, there's a creator and you were created. And I'm going, well, why did the creator create war? And why did they create illness? And why did they create death? And nobody could give me a good answer. And they say, well, the creator created that so we can learn. And I said as a little kid, well, then why didn't the creator create us smarter to start with? You know, why do we have to suffer to learn? That makes absolutely no sense at all. Okay? So from a Buddhist viewpoint, we don't posit some kind of greater creator that governs our life at all. Okay, now when we talk about karma, you know, karma means that things are conditioned, that we create causes and that causes produce effects. Karma does not mean that things are predestined. Okay, repeat. Karma does not mean things are predestined. Yeah? There is still choice. And, you know, as His Holiness Dalai Lama says, we never know the future until it happens. Yeah? Because if things were predestined, then there could be no cause and effect. Because when there's cause and effect, then there's dependency. You know, when there's dependency, it means you can change one cause, you can change one condition, and the whole situation changes. If there's predestination, then nothing can change, so nothing can have causes and conditions. Okay? Okay, then the next question is, how do we deal with depression and the negative mind? Okay. Depression, I think, is, you know, we just, when we're depressed, we allow our mind to get stuck in a cycle of just thinking quite negative thoughts, and we just spiral down, 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 down. And I think depression is a really unrealistic state of mind, because there are so many good things going on in our life. But depression can't see them. Yeah? It's like, you know, you have a whole wall that is yellow, and there's one purple dot on it, and you focus on the purple dot and you say, oh, look, the wall is dirty. But there's this whole wall that's yellow and beautiful. So, you know, similarly, what often happens in our mind is that there's a lot of things that are quite beautiful in our lives, that are going well, but we don't notice them. And instead, we pick out a couple of things that aren't going well, and we make such a big deal about them. You know? But I think one of the important things in Buddhism is to really appreciate the good things in our life. I mean, first of all, we woke up this morning. That's good, isn't it? The day started off well. We had food to eat. We're incredibly fortunate to have food, aren't we? There's so many beings that we even share this planet with that are hungry today. I mean, what kind of good fortune did we create to be able to have food? Yeah. We all have friends, don't we? Now, you might say, oh, but when I'm depressed, nobody loves me. I did that a lot when I was younger, I tell you. Nobody loves me. You know, actually, a lot of people loved me, but I couldn't see it. I was completely blind. Yeah? Because I wanted people to love me in one way. You know, I had all my criteria for how people should love me. If you love me, you should do this, you should do this, you should do this, you should do this. You know, you're not allowed to love me in the way that you want to love me. You have to love me by meeting all my criteria. So I made myself totally miserable and felt unloved and depressed. When I began to realize that it was my own mind doing this, and then I said, look, actually, there's a lot of people who care about me, and they all care about me in the way that makes sense to them. And that's good, and I have to open my eyes and appreciate the different ways that they care about me. And when I began to do that and appreciate the good things going on in my life, then there was no depression at all. Okay. When we think of, you know, the things that we know and how many other beings have helped us and how we have talents and education, we see that so many people have helped us in our life. So many people have done good things to us. So we have to really see this and appreciate it. And when we really train our mind to see the good things in our life, then we wake up every morning and we just see goodness. Yeah? So I think this is especially true with regard to the news, because sometimes we watch the news and it's all about killing and murder and this stuff. The news is totally unrealistic, because if you look, you know, how many people got hurt in Singapore today? You know, not so many. How many people received benefit from other people today? Everybody. True or not true? Did you have at least one person who helped you today? I think so. You know, if we look in our life, people are helping us all the time. But the media paints this very pessimistic thing of, you know, just reporting the bad stuff. But when we open our eyes, there's so much goodness around us. And I think we really have to train our mind to see that goodness in others and recognize that we're the recipient of so much goodness. So I'm getting the message that I have to stop. So there's lots more questions. I can answer some of them tomorrow night, okay? So we'll continue on with that. So I would just, before we do this ceremony, I just want to lead you in a little meditation and dedication. Okay? So first of all, let's just rejoice that we were able to come together this evening. Just think about that, how wonderful it was that we were all able to come here and share the Dharma together. Wasn't that incredible fortune? And how wonderful it was that we all created so much positive potential or merits. We all created so much good energy by listening and thinking about the Dharma together tonight. And then let's take all that positive potential, all of that good energy, and send it out into the universe. You could even imagine it as a beam of light emanating from your heart, and this light going in all directions. So we're sharing all of our positive potential with all the other beings throughout infinite space. So shine that light of your own goodness, your own positive potential, out to all the other living beings. And let's send that light out together with our prayers and aspirations that everybody live peacefully in their own heart and that everybody can live peacefully with each other as well. And let's dedicate so that whatever ills people are experiencing, they can purify the karmic cause of them and be released from whatever suffering they have. Let's dedicate so that everybody can actualize and cultivate and magnify all of their wonderful good potential, their good seeds, their good qualities. And let's dedicate so that the Buddhist teachings exist purely in our minds and in our hearts and in the world forever. And let's dedicate finally so that all living beings can attain the state of complete full Buddhahood. Okay. So thank you. And think about the teachings. And come back tomorrow and we'll continue.